say something special to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, with everything going on, I didn't know about that too.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll have a moment of silence for our service personnel, please. Thank you. And then our passport president, Marty Cash, passed away a couple of days ago, so we could have a moment of silence, please. A couple days ago, his grandson hanged out with my son and stuff, and he was in the house the other day, and he told me that Marty Cash passed away a couple days ago. Complications of life.
So, and I know how old he was.
Approximately.
Dirt?
Old?
No,
he was in his 70s.
70s
or
80s. I think he was in his late 70s, but I could be wrong. So.
Fortunately, he passed away.
Alright, so it's the regular board meeting of April 17th, 2018. It's approximately 6:05 p.m. Roll call. Director Sanderson?
Here.
Director Israel?
Here.
Director Wargo?
Here.
Director Davis?
Here.
Director Link?
Here.
Motion, we approve.
I second.
Everybody got your mics on?
Yeah.
I got it on. I don't know if it's working. Is it working?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay.
So approval of the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of March 20th, 2018, made by Director Israel, second by Director Davis. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
And Director Link?
Aye. Next item, warrants none, contracts none. Updates, San Gregorio Pass Water Alliance update. This is Israel.
We're still talking about those white packets that y'all got a couple months ago. We're still talking about those.
Oh, okay. manager's report?
Wednesday on April 11th, I went to the Banning Town Hall meeting, and it was regarding the I-10 bypass. And some of the concerns that was expressed by the residents of Banning was rerouting the traffic through their neighborhood. They were concerned about it depleting their property value. Banning council person claimed that, or stated he was a former law enforcement officer, and one of his concerns, other than the obstruction of the free flow of traffic, was truckers would bypass the scale, and terrorists could also bypass the scale and go undetected.
They can do that already.
What's that?
They can do that already. Have the trucks go talk to the scale.
So anyhow, those bogus arguments.
And the developers answer that by claiming that they're going to have enhanced CHP mobile road enforcement. This highway patrol would train Banning PD on commercial enforcement, and they would have cameras monitoring the turnout, which they plan to install or develop between Cabazon and Banning. Some of the potential funding sources will include federal, state, and transportation uniform mitigation fees, and they'll also work with Riverside County Transportation Commission and the Western Riverside Council of Government using our gas tax, Cabazon Community Funds, and development impact fees and Measure A, which these are funding mechanisms which is to use to enhance roads and streets and highways. The only positive input that I heard was they felt that the plans to divert the traffic in the event of law enforcement and emergency activities was the ability of unrestricted access for first responders. They understood that, you know, that in the past, Cabazon residents have lost their lives because of the train blocking both, you know, Apache and Broadway. Thursday, April 5th, we had a leak on Bonita on the south side between Anna Maria and Almond Street. The boys opened up the street, and it was an old service lateral. So everybody breathed a big sigh because that was a 10-inch transmission pipeline that we thought was leaking.
Wasn't there two laterals there?
Just one.
Just one? Yeah. That was the Larry Love's property.
Yeah.
It's owned by a gentleman named Musa out of Orange County now. I have his phone number if you wanted some contact information for the property. Because basically I'm the overseer because he bought it and he just asked me to keep it on the phone.
So. Okay. Friday was Friday the 13th, and we had a production well five failed. It failed to activate remotely, so I came out here Saturday, and I checked out the interior, and there were no lights, no flashing warning lights. There was no outside or evidence of anything mechanically or mechanical failure. And then I noticed that there was a blank screen on the SCADA, so I thought maybe it was a software issue. So I contacted the software or the SCADA engineer, and he has rectified the blank screen, but that he claimed that didn't affect the operation. God, maybe tomorrow, how about that? Anyways, I ran this thing for 4 hours all and hoping that, and then now it always happens during the board meeting. Anyways, on Monday morning at 6, I was en route to the office, and I called Morgan, and I asked him, well, go check it out, and told him what had happened. And if you look up on the screen, the little red light, which is an idiot light, but it warns you that there is a failure, and that's a motor saver. And plus, he noted that one of the relays had a red light and was flashing. And we checked the two banks of three fuse in the control panel, and they all appeared to be working. So I called our contract engineer or electrician, and he opened up the Edison box, and he found that one of the big fuses that hooks directly to the cable that comes in that was burnt out. And I think Clay said he had ordered it, and it should be here shortly. And so right now, the whole workhorse at Robertson running that solo, and I have programmed that instead of starting at 11:55 p.m., it starts at 10, so it can fill both, you know, and both mill and gallon tank and meet the demand of the community and the outlet. Also, not only production well, but production well 2 located at the Robertson. That's calcification that you see, and basically it's sodium hypochlorite, and when it hits air it dries up and then it becomes calcium hypochlorite, and that's what basically impairs the plastic tubing that the state requires us to use for any kind of chlorination. Anything else, whether it's metal, brass, or steel, there's just a reaction that causes, health problems. So that's just a common thing. It happens anywhere from maybe 6 to 8 weeks. Every couple of months we have to change the tubing. And today, this afternoon, Director Davis called in and he said someone was stealing water. So I responded. And basically, I got there and let me see if I get this video going. They were just gardeners that got contracted to do some weed abatement. And I advised them that they needed to come to the office to get a construction water meter, and they were a violating of a misdemeanor of theft of utilities. And this is a short video which I can't get working, I don't know why, but I just like to express my gratitude to Director Davis for his getting involved with the community. That's what's part of holding his office.
Fire hydrant?
Yeah, the fire hydrant. Well, anything, that's my report for today or for this board meeting.
Okay, you're going to get extra fuses and stock?
I'm going to wait.
We ordered
up to 3. And plus the smaller fuse, we're ordering some extra ones for that too.
I do have a request that in the contract for the contracted electrician that you have, because I noticed something in the, if you go back to the picture that shows him there with his bag and his meter. I do not see any NFP 70E safety gear there. That's called arc flash protection. Anytime you work over anything over 50 volts, you are required to be wearing gloves and so on.
He's got a glove and a glove hand, that's it. That's
not an NFP, that's
not
a rated glove.
An adequate flag, right?
Do you understand where I'm coming
from?
In there.
We had I know it doesn't matter, but we had the whole place de-energized. From the main on.
I understand. Yeah. But for to go in and do testing purposes, even to test depth, I know this.
I know, you got burnt.
Well, I work on 6900 now. Yeah. And so on and so forth. And I just went through NFP 70 training, state mandated training at work. And so all I want is to make sure that in our contractors, our agreement, whoever we use the contract, that part of the stipulations is that they follow all CalOSH and DOSH and the NFP 70E training or protocols.
Okay.
The idea being is if we, here's an example. I worked at a company, we sent something out to the SAM last week. Their client guy climbed up on it without any safety rig and was blasting, fell off and broke his back and had to have it fused. He sued us because we didn't say that they should be following all safety protocol. Finally got thrown out of court, but it cost our company tens of thousands of dollars. So if we, it's covered by ask, and then the same thing, do you have an additional insured rider from his insurance company that if he's working on.
Would our legal is have their liability insurance name the district?
Yeah, that's an additional insured. Okay, you understand where I'm coming? Yeah. I'm just looking out for me.
With her electricity, yeah, I can agree.
That was the only.
It sounds pretty, but I don't think it was not.
And my last comment is, when we go into closed session, I need to, do we need a vote, a board vote, or do I just announce it and everybody just consensus on the board?
Yeah, there's which any, if at least the consensus, but if there are any objections, they need to clear it.
It's in regards to personnel, and we have something that's come up, and I just need the board's just approval and advise you of it. So when we go into closed session, there'll be an extra item that we'll be discussing.
All right. Make a motion we go to closed session.
I second.
Nice. Time is 6:18.
I just locked it.